everyone, and welcome back to the 13 Club podcast. You are listening to a post-mortem episode, which is a couple of just smaller bite-sized stories for you to enjoy between our large topics. So, I guess I'll start.
Yeah.
Mine's pretty small, but it's, so basically, it's about a Ask Reddit thread. And the Ask Reddit thread was, to those of you who have accidentally killed someone,
oof,
what went wrong? And there were a lot of, like, really upsetting stories, of course.
I'm sure.
But one of them really stood out to people. They've since deleted it, and you can't really find it, but there are people who screen grabbed it. Mm-hmm. And it's, it just says, "This still haunts me to this day. As kids, we had a hideout in this dirt cliff/cove. This is the best approximation as I can find on Google. Only 3 times taller and probably 10 times as wide. There's a link to, like, an image. There was a neighborhood kid who, in hindsight, was probably mentally handicapped in some way, but to us, he was just the weird, creepy kid. This was the 80s, and we weren't exactly raised PC. 3 of us were headed to our base and found the creepy kid sitting on top of our guard chair. We yelled at him to get out, and he said something like, 'Make me,' and started lobbing dirt clods and sticks down at us. We all ran around to the side to make our way up. It gets pretty fuzzy from here, but all I remember is that he fell. I still remember the sound. When we got back down to check on him, he was in a very awkward position with blood coming out of his mouth. We all just freaked out and ran home. And as far as I know, no one has spoken a word of this to anyone. We didn't go back there for over a month and never said a word of it between us. Again, this was the 80s, so media wasn't like today. Chances are I got a small article or something in the newspaper B section. Missing mentally disabled child found dead after fall or something like that." And then people were like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing he replied to was, "Who and when did they find his body?" And then he said, "No idea. We were kids, maybe 10 to 12-ish, so we didn't exactly watch the news or read the paper. Mm-hmm. Even if our parents knew, I don't think that they would have mentioned it to us at that age, even though he was fairly well-known around the neighborhood. He went to a different school, so it was never brought up there. I did ask my parents maybe 10 years ago if they remembered him, and they said something along the lines like, 'Yeah, didn't he go missing?' And that's as far as I wanted to push it."
Hmm.
And then people traced a missing child in St. Charles, Missouri.
Okay.
To that year, 1988. And his name was Scott Kleeschlut. Scott Kleeschlut? I think that's what it is. Kleeschlut. But he went missing in 1988. And there's, like, a bunch of links here to, like, missing kid stuff, and it says Scott was last seen not far from his home in the 3300 block of Leverins Drive, walking near a wooded area known as the Trails. It was just before a fierce thunderstorm swept through the area. As long as 6 weeks after his disappearance, police conducted a large-scale search of the area near Scott's home. The search involved digging at a labyrinth of caves in the wooded hillside where Scott was known to play with other neighborhood children." And the person who posted this on Undelete, because they basically wiped everything, that person deleted their account.
Wow.
And
wow.
So this person who put it on Undelete says, "I don't know if this is the kid, but if it were him, and if the story is what you said, it seems likely his body would have been found. A corpse of a 9-year-old at the bottom of some land formation can get washed away pretty easily in a storm, however. If it is or isn't him, you need to talk to your local police department." And then we just never heard from him again.
So I remember seeing that post. And I don't know, you said this was on a website called Undelete?
No, it's a subreddit.
Oh, so it's still up on the subreddit, right?
No, it was deleted from Ask Reddit.
Okay.
And then somebody posted they copy and pasted it onto Undelete.
Okay.
Undelete is a sub that just keeps track of things that moderators remove from the top 100 posts.
Okay.
That seems like a big job, but they do it.
Yeah, that's really, phew. But I definitely remember seeing that, and I don't know, maybe I saw it when it was still live. I'm not sure when this post originally happened, but I remember seeing this, and maybe it was, I want to say maybe I saw it, like, reposted on something like Unsolved Mysteries or something like that, Unresolved Mysteries, but where I remember seeing it, I remember seeing a lot of people in the comments who, some of them had mentioned a specific child's name. That town in Missouri sounds familiar. And people were coming in and saying, like, leads have been followed up with the sheriff of this town, or, like, the police in town are, like, aware of this thread now.
Okay.
Or something.
That might have been why it was deleted, because maybe law enforcement may have told them to.
But the thing that I also remember is there were people in the thread who were saying, like, this doesn't add up. Because you are saying, like, for example, the one that sticks out in my mind was some people saying, like, oh, this is the 80s, so people, like, didn't keep, kind of, like, implying people didn't keep track of their kids the way that they do now, which is true to an extent, but the 80s was also, like, the height of, like, stranger danger, and, like, parents really panicking, so it's, like, it kind of doesn't necessarily pan out this idea that, like, oh, you know, a kid could just vanish and nobody would notice. They poked some holes in it that made it seem almost as if perhaps the person who wrote that knew of this other kid specifically's death, or maybe a similar child's death, and, like, made up this, like, retro-engineered this story to fit this one specific missing kid. Which is also really fucked up, because if people believe in it and, like, buy into it, and they're contacting law enforcement, and law enforcement is contacting families, you're potentially, like, digging up a bunch of shit for an entire family based on, like, you wanting to make up a story on Reddit for internet points.
Right.
I don't remember. It's been quite a while since I saw that post. Obviously, I'm just recounting what I remember from comments from memory, and I could be getting some of this wrong, too, but I definitely remember seeing that post, and I definitely remember there being a lot of stuff in the comments where people saying, this seems to fit this missing child, and other people saying, yeah, like, this seems bogus and shady, and I don't want to say attacking the poster of that comment, but, like, kind of, like, dude, what's up? So that's a really interesting one. I really don't know what to think of it. It definitely seems like, like you said, like, perhaps if law enforcement was contacted, then maybe that's why that post is gone now.
Yeah, it could be.
Whether it's, like, real or not, if authorities are following up on something like that, they could definitely be, like, as long as this is an active investigation.
Okay, so the thing that confused me,
uh-huh,
is that this is 4 years ago.
Okay.
But the person that said, no idea, we were kids maybe 10 to 12-ish, so we didn't exactly watch the news or read the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not absolutely positive that that person is the same person who originally posted, because the original post is deleted, and I really couldn't find anywhere that showed the person's username. But this person's name is Barkeology, and they're, like, just using Reddit like normal.
So
maybe
even
not. Like, I don't know when the last time. Oh, I guess they haven't used Reddit in, like, 3 years. But they didn't delete it. Like, this person has an account, if that's the same person. The person that replied, like,
I accidentally killed a kid.
Am I making sense?
Yeah. So you're saying that the person who responded to this original post, who said, I accidentally killed this kid back in the 80s with my friends.
And then somebody asked him, like, who found the body and when? And then he was like, no idea.
Know.
That person that said no idea has a Reddit account that was not deleted. And that's what confuses me, because everyone said that his account was a throwaway that is gone. But this person's account
still
exists.
Interesting. Because why would you respond that way if you weren't the original poster?
Right.
But maybe it is kind of a throwaway in that
they abandoned
it.
And if they weren't the original poster, don't you think somebody would call it out?
Oh, like in the interim, like interim time, like between now and
yeah,
then?
Yeah, like why are you talking about this?
Yeah, I don't know. That's really
yeah,
peculiar.
Yeah, it's confusing. And it's hard to go through, like, deleted stuff and try to, like, make sense of it. But, yeah, I saw that, and I thought that was weird. I kind of remember when this happened, too, but I didn't know all the details. And that's, like, really disturbing.
No, I totally agree. What I think is maybe the most disturbing part about it is the person who responded, who's telling the story, seems, like, pretty callous about it, honestly.
Yeah, like, we didn't talk about it. Like, it's fine.
Like, as far as I know, none of us have talked about it. Like, there's kind of no sense of, like, I couldn't believe what I'd done. Like, I mean, I guess within the context of a thread that says, like, well, talk about a time you accidentally killed somebody. I expect maybe there's stories of somebody whose house was getting broken into or something, and they do it in self-defense or whatever. This is somebody telling a story from their childhood when you're, I mean, 11 or 12 is a little bit old, but, like, your perceptions about death are still forming. And if you accidentally kill another kid, you would think that would, like, shake you up in some way. I would have expected some kind of, like, I think, you know, like, every once in a while I still think of this kid and I can't get it out of my head, or, like, maybe I have a sense of guilt or responsibility that I can't process.
Well, he did say that.
Did he?
He said, yeah, he said, this still haunts me to this day.
Okay. Maybe I'm reading into it then. I guess it just,
that's
it
the first thing
very,
he said.
Like,
and he like, sounds like, I still remember the sound. Like, it sounds like it was a traumatizing event for him, and that obviously he felt the need to share it.
Yeah, get it
and
off
then
his
I'm just,
chest.
This is a different subreddit. It's called Default Gems, and this person said, OP mentions a show that he used to watch that was only shown in St. Louis, Missouri, public TV during 1985 to 1991. They also currently live near St. Louis. I do have the place but don't want to dox him, which is about 30 minutes away and less than 1 hour from St. Charles, Missouri. OP's also mentioned living over in Crete and several other areas. They're also dealing with some medical issues and live near their mother. Seems likely to me that they moved back home. I figured out where OP was currently, his age, and where he was when he was a kid based on where he was based on the age he said he was. And then I checked unsolved missing persons cases around the time period OP mentioned based on his age and location and found this one. Only missing person cases that I could find that matched the description. Most obituaries are behind a paywall. This could have taken place before that, so I didn't cover them very extensively. The thunderstorm that came through later that day, according to articles I've read, perhaps Scott just got caught in a flash flood. I don't know the exact time of the storm. I doubt it's recorded, but Scott was last seen at 4:30 p.m. on summer afternoon, Wednesday, June 8th, 1988, from all accounts. It wasn't storming the last time he was seen. The story just rang a lot of bells when I found it. And that person that did all this searching was named Brother Chi.
That's really interesting. They did a lot of good homework.
So yeah, people dug and tried to find it, and I still don't know what the bottom line is, because most of the links that are, like, talking about him missing and trying to find him, they're still there.
Interesting.
Not like they've figured it out yet.
That was a really good one. That's definitely a classic weird Reddit tale, and I'm glad you brought it into the story for that. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, sorry for that sadness, but there you go. You're
well,
welcome.
Well, mine's not better.
Okay, cool.
So you guys probably remember back in episode 16, quite a while ago, my topic for that episode was on the Yuba County 5, which, just like a super quick recap, definitely go back and listen to that episode again if you haven't already. But if you missed it or you haven't gone back to it yet or just need a refresher, it was some young men from Yuba City, California. They all had special needs in some form of another, whether that was like an intellectual disability or they had some kind of psychiatric issue. Like, regardless, they needed a certain degree of, like, special care. I think most of them still lived with their parents, possibly, but I can't remember for sure. But they attended a college basketball game at California State University on the night of February 24th of 1978. They stopped to pick up some snacks and drinks, and then kind of disappeared for a while. Their bodies were eventually found dead, and one of the men, Gary Mathias, has never been found. He is still missing. And in episode 16, we cover a lot more of the details and some of the, like, theories about it. And recently, like, literally a day ago, 2 days ago, I was browsing Reddit, and I saw a new post on Unresolved Mysteries that was somebody who'd found a new detail, or rather, an old detail that I didn't really see anywhere else, that doesn't seem to get covered much. So I wanted to share it here and see, there was a little bit of discussion in the comments about further theories that we didn't touch on in the show, and kind of maybe how this might change the context a little bit. But so the post was posted by someone named U/TopGolfUFO, and this is 1 day ago. It's in late March of 1978. Searchers in Plumas National Forest, which is where the bodies were found, Plumas National Forest found 5 pieces of gold-colored cloth tied to trees just 1.25 miles away from where Jack Madruga's car was found. Could this have been a sign left by the Yuba County 5, and if so, how does this affect everyone's theories of what happened? I just wanted to bring this up because I haven't seen this detail mentioned on here before. I was digging through some old articles and found one from March 20th that said that searchers found 5 strips of cloth tied to trees 1.25 miles away from where the Mercury Montego was found. I can't find if the strips were left exactly on the snowcat trail that people think they walked along or not. The cloth looked to be marking a trail and could have been cut from the lining of a coat, though none of the boys' family members could identify if it matched anything they'd worn that night. A later article mentions that the strips were going to be tested to see how long they'd been out in the elements for, but I haven't yet found an article that followed up on that. Does anyone know if these strips ever got tested? It's possible it was just a dead end, but I found it interesting.
Yeah.
So one person points out that it would definitely challenge the theory that they had gone up into the cabin or the woods where they were found in a blind panic, or that they were otherwise, like, unable to cope in a challenging situation, because using the cloth from one of their jackets or something they had on hand to mark their route through the woodland shows, like, a certain level of level-headedness and kind of, like, rational thinking.
Yeah, coherence.
Yeah, and, you know, I saw a lot of people, including the OP for this post, are saying that, you know, they tend to agree that they, you know, were probably able to handle stressful situations more rationally than people give them credit for, particularly because 2 of them were military vets. So maybe if the cloth was indeed left by them, they were only planning on hiding in the woods for a short time and were, like, trying to mark their way, but got lost. But there's still a lot of kind of people want to debate that a lot, because they want to go back to the one of the boys who, as an example, like, his bedroom was on fire and, like, his family members had to, like, go back in and get him out because he, like, was trying to sleep through it. He had to be, yeah, like, dragged out of his house because he was worried about being late for his job the next day. So this, honestly, that just goes back to the fact that all of these boys had different levels of issues. Like, obviously, some were more severe than others. So I guess it's not totally out of the, like, realm of possibility to think that maybe some of them that were a little bit more functional, that had some of these skills, possibly, like, could have taken almost, like, a leadership role in what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, the less functional guys were overwhelmed by a stressful situation and, like, ran off in the snow or whatever. Someone points out, it only takes one person freaking out and the others trying to find or catch him for them all to end up lost. Then there was another person further down in the comments who had, let me see where it was. Let's see. There was one person who had, like, a theory that, we didn't get into in the last episode, but they kind of break it down really well. My theory is that no one survived maybe more than 2 to 4 days after leaving the car. Back in episode 16, we talk about how when they found the boys, they were in this cabin, and they kind of thought it seemed like they had been living there for a while, or at least one or two of them had maybe been living there for a while, and had only died relatively recently. Based on kind of, like, I think one of them had, like, facial hair, and that seemed to indicate, like, a beard growing, maybe, other stuff like that. But this person says, the hefty guy, which I'm not sure which one of the boys they're talking about, They said the hefty guy had serious damage to his feet by the time they made it to that cabin. So whoever was still with him opened some food and set off to get help. Poor guy succumbed to hypothermia and frostbite complications and was slowly mummified in the cold outside the reach of scavengers for weeks. The weight loss often reported is in line with what one might expect for a post-mortem weight of a dehydrated body, and most references to time of death say they based it on his facial hair growth. Facial hair growth is not a standard way to determine time of death because flesh drying and contracting can make it appear as if the beard continued to grow after death. If you accept, if you accept, which is like, it seems like makes perfect sense and is like duh, but it's also like I knew that and I didn't even think about it at the time we were recording our last episode. It's just easy to overlook when you get caught up in so many details on a case like this.
Right, right, and you're going through people who you're going through. The writing and findings of people who have been researching this for a long time, so you're just like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You've been right about all these other things, so I'm just going to trust you on this.
Right. And then this person continues, if you accept a normal death due to exposure in a short time frame, it makes the timeline a lot less, quote, crazy sounding. Some event leads the boys to driving up that mountain, and then the same and or different event caused them to flee the vehicle. Multiple grown men becoming lost in the woods at night without proper winter gear and then succumbing to the elements isn't a very mysterious story. I have no idea about the mystery of what led them there, but I think the weird details about time of death and not using the available resources are a red herring. I don't think anyone who was capable of moving themselves was at those cabin or trailers long enough to realize what they are. So, that definitely...
So who posted this? Was that, the Reddit user?
That particular comment was... Let me scroll up a little bit. User mind altering sitch, and that's SITCH. And then
who
posted, the original poster was a Top Golf UFO.
Oh, you said that. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, which I just thought that that particular comment was really good because in the last episode, or last time we talked about this case, it was really steeped in a lot of the, like, kind of the mysteries of it. The theories, like, what, you know, how long were they in this cabin? How long were they alive? Why did they go up there? Why were they in this cabin? And they had all these resources, like food and a stove, and they didn't use any of them. And this person uses a lot of, like, common sense arguments to point out that maybe they just weren't there as long as we think they were. And that's why, like, they didn't do it. And they bring up a good point. Like, it's not as mysterious that way, but... it could work. It's just people like a good mystery.
Oh, yeah.
People like... it's not as good of a story if they just got lost. Although I still think it would be interesting to know what led them to be driving up there in the first place, because it's, like, absolutely not at all where they should have been going.
Yeah, what lured them there? And, that is a mystery, and that we will not know.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I said that is a mystery that we just won't know the answer to.
Right. And then, not to draw this on too much further, but, so, also further in the comments, I'm reading, a bit, hold on. Somebody points out in the comments that, this was investigated by the same police department, including the same sheriff, that extremely botched the Keddie Cabin murders, which took place in a similar time period in the Plumas National Forest. Which a lot of people, including myself, did not know. I've heard of, I've definitely listened to some, like, true crime podcasts and shows, like, probably, like, My Favorite Murder, about the Keddie Cabin murders.
I think I listened to their, yeah, that's how I think I know about it.
Yeah, and it's definitely, like, really interesting, and maybe I'll cover it on this show as well someday. But that is definitely a really case that was, not handled well. Just a few years after this happened, and I never would have put two and two together, like, this is the same location, this is the same general area, investigated by the same people. So it also is food for thought that maybe, no matter what happened, this was not investigated the way that it, should have or could have been.
Right.
That some people say that, some people kind of further down in the comments for those got a little into the semantics of it, saying that the Keddie Cabin murders were investigated by the Plumas County PD, and the five boys were investigated by the Yuba County PD. But I don't know. Maybe they are different. It seems like the at least for the, I'm not as certain about how much media coverage or how much was going on with the Keddie Cabin murders. I'd have to re-research that and get into it some more, but it seemed like the Yuba County 5 mystery was, like, had a lot of, like, really heavy media attention and, like, police presence while it was going on, particularly because they had five boys that, you know, were special needs. You're gonna get out there and, like, really be searching for them. So it doesn't seem, like, out of the realm of the imagination to me to think that, like, Yuba County and Plumas County PD might have been working together to search for them. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just interesting. It was kind of funny to just be, like, randomly browsing Reddit and seeing more information about this case that I researched a few months ago. And
right, especially since it's, like, such a cold case.
Such a cold case, and that I'm still, you know, like you said, people have been looking into this for years, and somebody brought, you know, among all that information I sifted through, someone still managed to find, like, a new piece of information about the, like, tide strips on trees and the connection, at least from a police investigation standpoint, to the Keddie Cabin murders.
But it happens.
That's it. That's all that I got.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
My mom particularly liked that episode.
Ooh, good.
She left a comment, as you may have seen. So shout out to my mom.
Shout out to mom.
Listening to these episodes and commenting and being involved. That's awesome.
Yes, thank you. We love it when you guys leave us comments and give us feedback. It helps us make a better show, which is always our bottom line, is to give you guys the best show that we can.
If there's something that you guys want to hear, seriously, send me the request. Send us the request. Because, for example, I got a request this last week, and my topic that's coming up is that exact thing. So, we do them.
Yes. We do like to hear from you guys. You can always send those to us by, like, DM or reach out to us on Twitter. But the best way to do it is ask13club@gmail.com. That's askxiiclub@gmail.com. And there's also a link to that on our website, which is 13club.com.
Yep, you can find everything there. That is your hub for all things 13 Club.
Yes. Anything else you want to add before we go?
Nope, I'm good. We'll see you guys next week.
All right, thank you guys so much. We love you.